As Pastor Dustin mentioned, I get to help wrap up our sermon series, as we've called it, Made to Praise. And we hear powerful words of praise lifted up to our Creator from all of creation in Psalm 148 today. And as it shows, praise is what unites heaven and earth. It's that thing that we shout up to earth and it gets there. Our Father hears our praise and connects us with Him. As you go through these verses that Michael just read, you see it's the highest of heavens. It's the heavenly hosts and the army in heaven that praises God. But then it includes us, all of creation down here on earth, that get to be a part of that heavenly praise, even in this world. But it's when those praises come down, when we're a part of them in this earth, that it gets complicated. It gets a little bit problematic. It's here on earth that, like other things, it's harder than it has to be. Something that is so simple and so beautiful as praise becomes distorted. You see, worship and praise have become distorted in a very simple way. It's because the truth that we hear has been traded with a lie. The world speaks a lie about who God is and thus who we are. In this postmodern world, this Western individualized country, a great free place, but unfortunately, it makes us self-obsessed. It speaks into our hearts in a way. Satan speaks. The fallen powers diminish who God is, and he inflates and increases who we are. And if it's not us that becomes the center of our world, it's something created in this world. It might even be something good that God has created, but the great deceiver tells us those other things, created things, can fulfill us, can heal us, or even complete us, but that is a lie. So living in this world, we need to hear the truth. And today we're going to ask the question, we're going to hear the truth. Ask yourself, was I really made to praise? How and why? Let's pray before we answer this question. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to come before you in praise. That means you've called us to be those that worship you. And we thank you for Jesus, the gift, our Lord and Savior, that prayed and praised on earth in ways that we could not. He made the impossible possible, and that's true not just for him, but for us. So help this truth sink down deeply in our heart as we hear your word today. Amen. As Pastor Dustin always says, he says, if you don't get the beginning right, you're really going to have a hard time getting everything else right. And that's why we see this or hear this hymn and we go to Genesis 1 and 2 and we see God as the creator of heaven and earth amazingly and powerfully. And as Psalm 148 does, it praises God for the important truth that he is the creator, because in the beginning he made all things, and in the beginning he said it was good. But then he involves us. God made man, and through man he made woman. In his image, he made them. And then he said, it is very good. And we hear that very good, and what it means is Adam and Eve were fully with God. Nothing separated them from God and heaven, the creator of heaven and earth. They were perfectly with him, and thus we know they were perfectly able to praise him. But if you keep reading Genesis 3, the perfect creation fell into sin. The world was broken, and with creation, praise too was broken, or at least complicated. Sin had come between God and his creation, and praise was distorted, or at least challenged, and susceptible to the fallen powers of our sinful flesh. And in that fall, God, because he is just, had to pour out his wrath. He did that so that unrighteousness cannot thrive and righteousness may be restored. When the battle of good and evil began, when we had to be aware, we had to have the knowledge of good and evil. That's when it began. And so then something happened, as Paul references in Romans 8. As creation had previously praised God, now creation groans. It groans in these birthing pains, he says in Romans 8, longing to be set free, of the brokenness of this world and return to the new heaven and new earth where we are perfectly with God. As we've gone through this sermon series, the Psalms have had these groans, the laments, crying out to God, we need him. But don't forget, there are many Psalms too where God's people still praise him no matter what. The Apostle Paul captures this so beautifully in Romans 1. It's a lot of verses, but just this really unravels what we're talking about today. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness, because of the fall, suppress the truth. For what can be known about God has been made plain to them, because God has shown it to them. He's not hiding from us. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. In the things that have been made, he cries out, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks and praise to him, but they became futile in their thinking. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what this means is our praise has been shifted. Satan tries to shift our praise from the maker that we praise to made things on this earth. We all make our own golden calves. And the only way we can avoid this, the only way we can get this right is to ask the question, what truly is praise? And it's simple. Praise is a return, or if you want to say a repentance, it's turning to God, to acting out the reality of what a right relationship with God looks like. It's us, God's people, acting naturally, the way we were made to be made, acknowledging the truth of God's word. Satan hates it when we praise. Because the fallen world and its deceitful powers tempt us to act unnaturally, to be who we were not meant to be self-centered, not God-centered. Satan wants us to be separated from him, and that's not how we were meant to be. And as all around the world humans act unnaturally, we can see in his nature God crying out to be with us. This way we're supposed to be in God's creation is all around us. I love how it's captured in Luke 19. When the Pharisees told Jesus to silence his disciples as they cried out, Hosanna, at his triumphal entry, he replied, even if people don't praise me, creation itself will praise me. He said, I tell you, if these, my disciples, were silent, the very stones would cry out that I am God. And it's not just the rocks. The disciples did cry out, Hosanna. And all throughout Scripture, we see God's people in a world full of unrighteousness and brokenness and fear and death and evil. They cry out praise to God, even in the midst of real hardship. Even with tears in their eyes as they wait on God's promises, he was with them and he helped them praise him by his love and his direction. But as we see these people praising, what are they doing? They're declaring the truth in a world full of lies. This sounds easy to do, and it sounds so good when we hear it, but this is so hard to do. This is acknowledging the truth of who God is. It's turning outward rather than inward. And it's looking upward and rather than worrying about the things right in front of us. It's when our heart turns out and opens up, that is when we are praising. And it's not just that, it's getting God right size. As the God and we try to make God seem so small, when we praise, we acknowledge him as the creator who without him our lives would not be possible. When we praise, he increases so that we can decrease. And you might be saying, I don't want to decrease. But we decrease in a humble and peaceful way, not a diminishing way. Our value does not decrease. Our pride and our struggle decreases because when we decrease and he increases, we are set free from being the center of our own world. Do you know how much weight is carried by being the center of your own world? That's not a weight you were meant to carry. In Psalm 46, familiar words, it says, be still and know that I am God. Beautiful words. And I pray they bring you peace, because it does mean he is our refuge, but it also means he's our strength. People often get this wrong. The verses leading up to that stillness are, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. We become still and know that he is God because he is so powerful. When we praise God, it does not diminish the power of God. It lifts it up. We lift him up so big in our praise that we become so beautifully small. And in our weakness, he is strong. So if we know praise is about the truth and the size and power of God, what isn't praise? Praise is not an intellectual exercise. It's not checking a box. It's not about finding the perfect way to praise to do a good work. It's not about controlling your behavior. It's something so much more beautiful. It's about participating in a reality and a relationship with the Creator of heaven and earth. It's about being who you're meant to be, not doing something someone told you you should do. It's not about processes or outcomes. It's about your identity. It's about connecting with God, the one who made you, but is also invading your heart, mind, and soul, and is seeking to protect you from and pull you out of the brokenness of the world. He wants you to be in heaven on earth, and he is calling us to surrender to him and him alone for our eternal good. You see, the truth is, you are made to praise. You are someone who worships the one true God of heaven and earth. Why? That means that God clearly loves you, has clearly been gracious to you. You know him, but even better yet, he knows you. And in the surrender of our praise, God does amazing things to us. What's crazy is, even though praise isn't an intellectual exercise, even though it's not about changing our behavior, it does change your heart and your mind. You won't be the same if you're in a posture of praise. And when your heart and mind changes, your behavior starts to change too by God's grace. It brings clarity by revealing the truth of who God is and who that makes you in a world of lies. It brings you home. That home feeling to you are who you're supposed to be and you don't long to be someone else. It fulfills our deepest need, that one we all have written on our hearts, to return and be connected with our Creator God. It completely changes your heart and rewires your brain. If you want to go down that road, this is actually backed by cognitive behavioral psychology, and God made you that has been studied that way. But I would rather go to Paul and his words to the Romans about not conforming to this world, but being transformed by the renewal of your mind. I have been trying to renew my mind lately, asking God to do what Paul writes to the Romans to me. And I have to share with you what he's revealed to me. If you're like me and you've been thinking, I want to be closer to God, I want to grow in faith, and I want to know how, well, I want to start by saying, from my experience, the place to begin, if praise, prayer, and hearing God's word every day is not a part of your life, you will be drawn to the things of this world. You will be susceptible to the attacks and lies of the great deceiver. So start with prayer, praise, and God's word. And the reason is because it's the truth we declare when we praise God, what we read about in Scripture that sets us free and renews our hearts and minds. It takes the lies out of our head and replaces it with truth. And that takes great effort. That takes time and intentionality, for sure. But God works through it. It's the only way there is to unleash, unlock, and set free you to be who he meant to be, and for you to go and love others as he loves us. This is all possible because Jesus alone. At the end of our reading for today, in verse 13 and 14, it says, let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is exalted, his majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him, praise the Lord. This horn is very scriptural. Everywhere in scripture we hear about this horn, it represents strength and power and authority, representing both the earthly kingdom, authority given by God, but also divine victory, God working through people on this earth. This is the horn we have heard about elsewhere in the Psalms, in Psalm 132, verse 17, about whom Zechariah sang these beautiful words, "Blessed be the Lord of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of his servant David." It's Jesus, in which Luke captured in his gospel, Luke 1. This horn of salvation, who is our praise? Is God himself in the flesh, Jesus the Messiah. God came down and became our praise. God could have kept us under the law. He could have kept us under an old covenant where we had to keep the law perfectly and our praises had to be perfectly or else. But instead, he sent Jesus to set us free, to be free to praise, knowing we're who we meant to be, free to praise him, free to do things that even sometimes seem impossible, to praise when we're hurting, but to praise when things are great too. And this week I had to ask myself, how is that even possible? How can I praise when it seems impossible to do, when I'm distracted or I'm hurting, whatever it may be? But it happened because he, God, did the impossible himself. Jesus showed us when to praise. In this first verse, Luke 10, 21, Jesus rejoices and praises the Father. He says, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth." He teaches us that it's accessible to all people, even children. And it's not complicated. It's simple. And in Matthew 26 and Mark 14, it says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. That means after the Last Supper, Jesus is singing a hymn with his disciples, likely part of the Hallel Psalms, which celebrates God's deliverance, even knowing the cross awaits him this very day. Jesus chooses to praise through song. In John 12, "Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. To go to the cross, this is the very reason I came for this hour. Father, glorify your name." Even in agony, Jesus' response is to praise and glorify God's name in heaven. His priority is the Father's honor above his own comfort and above his own life. And in Luke 23, his final words on this earth, then Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he said this, he breathed his last. Even at death, death on a cross, Jesus' final words are a quotation from Psalm 31, verse 5, an expression of trust and worship of God. He died painfully praising the Father with faith and surrender. So with this powerful picture of praise, with the power and authority that he didn't just have, but gave to you and me, we got to ask the question, what does living out of praise look like for us? God, having been so gracious to us, calling us back to him and to praise him as we were made to, and Jesus having showed us the way to praise God simply and in a way that's not complicated. We can do it in our daily lives. Our simple daily lives that just happen to be miracles. We are walking miracles. We are the elect. We are the chosen. We are the ones who've been given the light of truth, and now we can shine the light of truth that was given to us in Christ as we shout out to the world, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator who made you, has redeemed you. Turn away from the lies of this world and believe the good news, for this is most certainly true. May you take the truth and the joy, peace, and wholeness that God gives us in this very sanctuary. May you take it out into the world with you. And take it out there being free to live as God made you to live. Not by the heavy yoke and standards of a world that tells you to be self-centered, but instead with a renewed heart and mind that is able to love God, to truly love yourself, and to love your neighbors in ways that weren't previously possible. Go out and do that, knowing that God has begun not just the creation that he began, but the recreation through Jesus Christ. And he's continuing to recreate us, you and me. And he will do that until the completion of his work, when he makes all things new. There will be no more sin, no more suffering, and our praise will be perfect, and it will be in his perfect presence. In that day, we will be standing as we were truly made to be, where we were truly made to be with God, and that reality is unfolding today by God's grace. And may it give you the peace that goes beyond all understanding, and may it guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.